Morning, everybody. Morning. It's a lovely, slow Sunday. My name is Aidan, for those that don't know it. Actually, partly Irish. Aidan Dermot. How do you like that? Whoa. Yeah. That explains a lot, yeah. I do have a problem that I speak very fast, so I'm going to get it out now. Did you understand that? No, that's gibberish. Well done. Everyone needs a home language, eh? But we speak the international language of love. There we go. Yes, I am Aidan, and I'm a husband to one wife. And that is a good thing, and that's one amazing wife right over here. So, Alicia, I often say, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. And for those that are planning to get married, it's a very important thing. So all husbands, you must say, yes, it's a good thing, right? Good, yes. Some extra bonus points there. Very interesting. You know, I often say, and Cleo said to me this morning, I always say it, happy life, happy wife. Happy wife, happy life. Both of them are very important. And someone gave me a picture, and they were talking about it, and they said they wanted to, Eugene used to talk about throwing Smarties outside on the lawn to keep his children occupied. I don't know what for. But someone else gave a scenario of actually saying, I wanted to keep the child busy. So he got a map of the world and cut it up into tiny pieces and said, go and put it together. And he said, okay, close the door, and said, cool. And he's comes little child starts knocking on the door and says, like, have you finished? She said, yes. He said, how did you finish so quickly? He said, well, on the back of the picture while you were doing it, I saw there was a picture of a man and a woman. And if I put the man and the woman together, I could actually put the world together. And I think that's actually what God calls us to do, is actually to put us together. So when I say happy wife, happy life, there's the substance, the foundation there. Okay. That was, as MD says, for free, eh? I'm still learning that one, and I fail every time, but I am trying. I'm generally very bad with invitations, and I think most men are. Yes, we are. Yes, yeah. I can hear that, okay? I think I was pretty much scarred and damaged when I was younger, and no C's where. I wasn't dropped as a kid, so don't even go that way. It happened when I think I went to my standard 9 school dance. It was the first dance I had to go to, and I had to invite someone to this dance. And it's like, for me, it was a huge thing, because I'm like a Troy. I'm kind of very, very quiet. I don't want to go out there. So I went to the neighbor's daughter. I mean, that's an easy thing. I mean, she sees me, so she knows me. And I said, do you want to come to this dance? And she accepted. And I went, phew. And I was pretty chuffed. That's the word we use in our day back in Durban. I was very chuffed. And she looked like she was happy. So I thought, well, this is a win-win situation. But I was soon very, very deflated. Because as we got to the dance at the Maharani Hotel in Durban, she said, cheers. And I went like, what does that mean? She says, I'm going to a nightclub. I'll see you later. And I sat there through the whole dance alone. Yes, I actually also felt that, eh? Yeah. And I think that's the important thing, is if I knew now what I did back then, I think I would have rather waited and waited for my beautiful wife. It was only in standard 2. But I would have waited. Should have waited. Okay, so let's go. And what does an invitation have? An invitation has a little acronym on top of there, RSVP. Who knows what that means? Candace. Candace would be the only one that would know it, yes? Andrew, you put your hand up. You know what it is? No, Candace? You're going to France. It's a French word, and I had to go ahead and Google it because I don't know what it is. It's Respondez, s'il vous plaît. I don't even know. If I read it, it looks completely different. Basically, in Afrikaans, it means, kom saam, kom jy of nie. Are you coming? Please respond. And it's an interesting, when you put an invitation out and someone doesn't respond, it's kind of, it hits you. And I think that's probably most communities' heart members when they invite people on Wednesday and they go, like, they don't respond. Yeah, you know that feeling, eh? Do you know? I feel the heart, eh? Okay, so what does the invitation have? It has three things. It has, firstly, who's it from? Someone's invited you somewhere. So someone, it's from somebody. Secondly, it's to someone. Obviously, it's to you. And thirdly, what is it about? What is it through? And that's the three things that we look at invitations and it's interesting because, I mean, that's the most important thing that we need to go ahead and actually focus on. And for me, the interesting side I've been looking at now is that what are the emotions that get evoked around an invitation? It makes you feel special. Do you guys feel special when you get an invite? I've been included. I feel special. I mean, my wife has words of affirmation. I'm still learning those love languages, so learn them, husbands. But it makes you feel special. It makes you feel wanted and accepted. I got accepted. I got invited. I'm important. And it's a powerful way to reach out to people. And if you haven't picked up by now, sorry, that was a quick one, is that I'm actually talking about the invitation, okay? So that's That's kind of what we're talking about, right? Good morning. Hello. So a heads up for those a bit later on. I kind of think ahead, and I realized when I did management of estates, people think differently. So some people need a long time to process stuff. So at the end of my preach, I'm going to give you guys an invitation to respond. So for those that take a while, let's process it right now, because I'm going to give you that invite later on. And then the idea is that you respond. Those ones that respond quickly will be fine, but those need time. Okay, so the Bible has 800,000 words. I didn't count them all. I found that out. But they all point towards Jesus and God wanting to go ahead and actually have a relationship with us. That's the whole purpose of why we do stuff. And you could put up John 3:16. Thanks, Renee. Okay, John 3:16. Simple. Invitation says, who's it from? It's from God. For God so loved the world. Okay, so who's it to? The world. That's you, me, and everyone else. Okay, so this is an invite from God to the world, which is us. And what is it about? That he gave his only son, whoever believes in him shall not perish and have eternal life. That we have an opportunity to live for eternity from God, invite to us. And that's a very simple invite that is God puts through and it's over the Bible. God's the same, Old Testament, New Testament, Revelations, it's the same God. It looks different to us. We go ahead and see God of the Old Testament going, wow, that's a broomstick and Jesus is the loving one in the New Testament and Jesus comes with the horse and it's the same God. He's the same today to tomorrow. We don't understand it, we don't have to, but the invitation is here for us to respond. So as I mentioned, I didn't really have priorities and invitations weren't very high on my list after being shunned and dropped a little bit. So I got literally, a bend. So I even got my secretary to invite Lissy out to our first anniversary because I didn't actually know how to do it. And she was so good. She put roses over there and each rose she put a little word. I said to her, this month that was kind of what happened. She put it over there and she even said, a man from the bar gave it to you. So that was where I went wrong. But I mean, her heart was right. Invitation was there. Invitations are great, but it should have come from me. you know that if you look back in Genesis, God walked in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve, and that was actually what he wants. He wants to have that personal relationship, and he invites us the whole time because that's been broken, and that's what he wants to restore, and that's the whole purpose of why we come to church, to encourage us to get back to that place where we can communicate and just be in relationship with our loving Father. So if I've realized that technology's come inside and we start working smarter, not harder. And we think it's a good thing because we can be more productive and we can do stuff correctly. But it's actually broken what the original blueprint of what God had there. I mean, in the old days, people would talk. In the old days, before we had phones and anything else, you did verbal communication. Hey, buddy, wil jy kom na my huis toe? Do you want to come to my house? You had to tell the person and they had to come along. Ufuna, was it lapa ikaya gamina? Yeah. No one speaks Zulu, okay. It was a good attempt, eh? Then we got smart and we started writing. Actually, it all went down over here at Mossel Bay. Vasco da Gama left something on a post office tree. And ever since then, we started using the post office system where we started writing letters to each other. And I still have a letter from my grandfather, handwritten, telling me he looks forward to me one day to come and actually, he was born in the 1800s, and he looked forward to me to go ahead and take his farm. And it's something I've treasured because we don't write letters anymore. But that was actually like a big innovation. Then it came the fax, and fax was amazing. I remember when I was working in Sun City, if you didn't get a fax on a Friday afternoon, whew, you've got the whole weekend off because there's nothing wrong because they can't get hold of you because the fax machine's in the office. You remember those days? Then we got smart. Technology gave us email. I remember my brother, 94, I came out of university and he said, I'm giving you a computer with an email address. I said, what do I do with that? He said, I'll email you. I said, but you can phone me. What do I want to email? Now email cuts off and no one can work. The whole office is sitting over there. It just shows you we are so reliant and dependent and actually missed what God wanted. God wanted one-to-one. Now we're sitting with email. Then we got smart WhatsApp, and that's my Achilles heel, WhatsApp, I must admit. I do send a lot of WhatsApp messages, as those that are looking around here. I send a lot, and I'm trying to communicate, but it's in a very, very wrong way. You don't hear my heart, you don't see my face, you don't catch it, but just so you guys have grace with that, so forgive me. You still love me, thank you. And then COVID came along, and Teams meetings came, and I think old Gina was the champ there, having the Teams church meetings. No one in the whole church had such a good comm as his. They met every Sunday, and then like one day I said, you can cancel it, and someone phoned me and said, how can you cancel our community Teams meeting? I said, oh, sure. And now you get evites, so you can actually see who's going before you decide what you go. So we've become so impersonal. We've missed what God wants, personal communication. I mean, that's why I think God gave us wives, because they want that one-on-one, and we think we can just send a message, hey, babes, I love you. And that wasn't the intention. The blueprint was always to be one-on-one. Okay, so the old folk, you guys have got it. Teach us, okay? So as I mentioned, invitations evoke an emotion. You guys know what FOMO is? Okay, so the elder people, that is an acronym, fear of missing out. So some people get a, like, see, wow, he got an invite. I didn't get that invite. So there's this fear that comes along. Why didn't I get the invite? What happened? Am I not good enough? And we start going ahead and actually going downhill spiral. I'm not good enough. I'm frustrated. I shun them. I don't want to see them. And if I look in Revelations, God stands at the door and knocks. He stands there waiting to invite us on a continual basis. He wants that relationship. He's not in a rush. Technology is trying to rush this whole thing. He's standing there patiently knocking, saying, I'm here waiting for you. I'm here when you're ready. And the thing right now is that our time runs out. We don't know how long our lives are. And I mean, basically, if you look at it, I mean, our hearts are rotten. We're pretty grim if you look at that. I think if I understand, it says that Jeremiah 17, verse 9 to 10, says the heart is more deceitful than all else. I remember I would sit back and say, I want to follow my heart. I want to go and tour the world and I want to do that. And we do it because I'm following my heart. But guess what? Am I going where God wants? Not really. I'm going where I want. I think someone said it very nicely. He said, the heart of the human problem is actually the problem of the human heart. Our heart is actually where the problem is. Because actually we can't follow our heart. We need to go ahead and actually follow Jesus regardless of where and when he wants to take our stuff. So yes, invitations do have different emotions. I remember the first time I did the invitation and my secretary invited Alicia. I thought it was a good intention. She thought it different. So it's got an emotion that's attached there. Both of us have different perception to it. I remember getting invited to the Springboks with a business and a lounge, and I thought it was such an amazing thing. It was like I cracked the nod to go and watch the Springboks in a box. It was an amazing thing. And then I gave people an invite to my wedding, but I selected people, and I wanted certain people to come and share my wedding because that was a special thing, and I wanted them to come, and it was important that they responded because this was actually an important milestone in my life. And then we get to the stage where we actually have invitations where it's a bra. Hey, come over. We're having a function. Last night, Candace, we're having a function. We connect. So invitations have different levels of things. But the thing is, when you issue an invitation, there's a heart behind it where we actually want people to come. And the picture of Jesus is actually of a loving father just sitting there knocking and say, hey, I want you to come to be with me, to be my son. But the door's for us to open and close. We've got to open it. And some of us run around missing the purpose of what God's planned for us. Okay, so God's invitation. Let's go back to John 3, verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish and have eternal life. I mean, that's the crux of it. I mean, if we think about everything, if it wasn't for Jesus, we wouldn't be here. I mean, we'd be sitting on the beach right now. Because Jesus came and died for us, because of his blood and because he raised again, we have an opportunity to become part of his family and to become part of this family. And this family is actually a picture of actually the collective bride of Christ. But the only condition is we have to respond today. And you say, why do I have to respond today? Why? Well, that's pretty obvious because no one's guaranteed tomorrow. I don't know. I'm driving tomorrow on the road. I trust and I pray for protection over myself. But for each of us, we don't know when our time is up. We don't know where it's going on there. And sometimes we say, you know what? I'll wait till I'm later. And when I was like younger, I had that kind of thought. Well, like, I'm going to live my life hard. I'm going to run it hard. And later on, I'm going to go ahead and say, before I die, quickly, Lord, forgive me. Have you ever had that thought? It's a rotten heart. Remember? But that's actually sometimes how we think. We need to be alive to go ahead and make this decision. Liani, just poke Caesar for me quickly with that finger. Did he move? He's alive, eh? So that's the thing is you need to be alive to go ahead and actually make this decision. Can't go ahead and do it when you're dead. It's too late. We've missed the boat. So while we're alive, we go ahead and say, God, I'm alive. Sorry, Caesar, I had to use that one, eh? We can make that decision. Okay, because it's Christmas, and Christmas, you know, 17 days to Christmas, eh? That's quite cool, eh? I've got a question for you. Okay, what was the first invitation that God did in the Bible? This is my perception, eh? But what was the first invitation? New Testament. Let's bring it up. New Testament, first invitation. Okay, don't all put your hands up at once, eh? It's an easy one. I'll even give you a chocolate. I'll give you my favorite chocolate. Make it easy. I'll give you a bar one if you get it. Okay, I'll give you another hint. Close. It was actually New Testament. Next one was at the birth of Jesus. Oh, come on. That's an easy one. Hey, well done. Hannah's. Oh, can you give it to him? How can he take that from you? Jeepers, yeah. So what happened over there, if we look at Luke here, eh? Go look at, let's look at Luke. 2 verse 9. Okay. So the angel of the Lord appeared, And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause joy for the world. God literally lit up the heavens. Can you imagine what it must have been like, seeing these angels sitting over here? We always sing, well, shepherds. I think you said last Sunday there, and I said, hey, I'm going to maybe use that. So I did. He lit up the whole sky with these angels, and they gave an invite to the shepherds and said, come to this little stable, and you're going to meet the Savior of the world. And I mean, yeah, we go ahead and think that we're quite smart because we've got the cloud, but Jesus put everything in the cloud right in the beginning, way at the beginning. Okay, next question. Same scenario. What was another invitation that God did? Okay, easy one. I'll give you another chocolate. Easy. Okay, easy. Sorry? Let's go. Oh, come on. You can't take two. Right? I mean. But you know what? That's because he's actually kind of, he needs to know the word, eh? It's a safe place for us to be if the guy that leads us knows the word that well, eh? He's got two daughters. Let's give them chocolate. Feed them quickly. No. Okay. So we look at over there, and that was an interesting one, because the Magi said, back in Matthew 2, verse 2, he asked, where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw the star and rose, and we've come to worship him. And I mean, the heavens proclaim basically Jesus the whole time. For me, I find God in nature. I look at nature and I see him. And I mean, if you look at the guys when they wrote their song, they're in the stars, I see his handiwork. I mean, there's something about actually just realizing that there's a star that acknowledges Jesus. Last night, I think Lucius said, wow, there's a bright star. Is it the space station, whatever? It's something that actually brings an attention to God. And God actually is the whole time pulling us, regardless, from the minute he was born to the minute he came on earth, continually inviting us to go ahead and actually have a relationship with him and to find him. Because the thing is, those wise men, all they knew is that we need to follow that star to find him. The question right now is that we need to go ahead and find Jesus in our lives, because our lives get so busy, we miss him in the process. And he wants to go ahead and actually find us. Okay, so Jesus gives us an invitation. And the interesting thing is we go like, but yo, my life is tough. I'm going through difficult times. And I have. I've been through a tough year. This is probably one of the most toughest year I've been through. And I felt, Jesus went through it when he was tested. He was tired, hungry, and alone. And this year I felt tired, hungry, and alone. I thought, yo, I've missed it. But Matthew 11 says, Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. Do you know what? When you're difficult, in difficult circumstances, we go, I don't have time for God. But actually, that's the time we need God, because he says, my yoke is light. And we need to go ahead and actually come to him. The interesting thing is, when you go down and you hit rock bottom, you can only look up. You know that. There's nowhere down because you're at the bottom. And you don't have to wait until you hit rock bottom. You can actually say, you know what? I can see myself going in this thing. I need to go ahead and call out to Jesus and actually... Don't sit back and wait there. So I want to go ahead and actually say to you, open your hearts, soften your hearts to go ahead and actually say, God, you know what? This is a year that I want to go ahead and change what needs to be changed. The interesting thing is, I mean, we can never alter our past. I mean, our past is the past, but we can bring our past to the altar. And that's where we go ahead and actually move forward. And I think that's for me, yeah, most of us have blown it. I mean, I don't think any of us can sit back and give a testimony that glorifies God. We've been through things that actually have probably glorified the world. But we need to go ahead and actually live the rest of our lives that glorifies God. So I want you guys to, yeah, let's open our hearts for that. Revelations 22, 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. And let those who thirst come. That's a cry of the Trinity. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Everything is calling us to go ahead and actually come back into a relationship with him. I mean, they say at the end times that the trees and the rocks will cry out. I mean, that's going to be amazing. I mean, I often go ahead and say, like, I can hear nature creaking. I don't know if you've ever been to a tree. My mom used to, no, sorry, I'm a greenie. I said I wouldn't talk about trees. Oh, no. But you can actually hear on a tree, a eucalyptus tree, if you put your ear against it, you can hear the water and the movement. And it's amazing. But one day we're going to hear nature just glorifying God. So we need to go ahead and our thing, because we have a voice, we need to glorify God. And actually, God, I want to praise you because you're my Father that loves me. So God's message is in the form of an invitation. And we need to go ahead and actually heed to that. Psalms 68 says, he brings the lonely into family. I mean, I remember coming to church and I was a single guy sitting back there and I said, I want to become part of something. And that's what God wants. He wants you to become part of this family. And this family is a reflective picture of what Jesus is. No one's got it 100% together. And we're all trying. I'm trying. I'm not there. We're all doing it, but together we look better. I think old Ashley said it so well at 4:12. He says, we're better together because we reflect Jesus Christ so much better together. And we can't go ahead and actually always get there, but I can help my brother to go ahead and actually find Jesus when he can't see it. So we're called to go ahead and reach the lost. Matthew 28:18, the Great Commission. That's what God's called us to do, is to go out and feed his sheep. So for those of us that actually know Jesus, It's actually a challenge for us to sit back and say, hey, you know what? We need to go ahead and actually invite people to church. So how do we, you know, how do we do it? I mean, if we look back in the Bible, Andrew went in John 1, 40. Andrew invited Peter to meet Jesus. He said, this is something real. This is something that I'm going to go ahead and actually bring you to go ahead and meet there. And the Bible talks about over and over. John 1, 43, Philip invited Nathanael to meet Jesus. When you find something real, that treasure in the field, you're going to go say, hey, stop the bus. Come over here. I want to introduce you. They invited them. But it's through a personal invitation through people. Because Jesus uses us to go ahead and invite people. And that's where we as believers have a responsibility to do the invitation. The Samaritan woman invited her neighbors. She was so impacted, she went and invited neighbors and it changed the town because of one person inviting and actually setting an example. Matthew gave a feast to introduce Jesus to his friends. Cornelius invited his family. Peter, and that's in Acts 10, invited his family. When you've met Jesus and when he's touched your life and you've actually changed forever, you're going to invite him to like the people. You're going to invite him into your social circles, into your family. And you're going to get to say, like, me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And that's going to be an important thing, is that can we say today that me and my house are serving the Lord? We're actually, I say to my kids at night, when we have dinner, you don't sit in the bedroom. You come around the dinner table, and we're all eating together, and we all share. And this is what this time over here is together. When we come together, this is our fellowship time. There's a certain sacramental things that we value highly, is family time to connect together. Yeah, so I came to know Jesus through an invitation. Someone invited me. I don't know how many other people were invited by somebody to church. So in other words, people do invite people and we do have an impact. It's easy we say monkey see, monkey do principle. But Jesus extended the invitation and changed people. The disciples invited people continually to meet Jesus and they changed them. You and I should be doing the same because we're called to go ahead and replicate what he's called us to do. So the question today is, I actually asked the elders this morning. I said, like, it's interesting. In this last year, can I honestly say, who have I introduced and invited to meet the Lord this year? And that should be the question we should all say. Like, who last, hey, that guy's here. I've brought that guy in. Have we done that? Because we can be very busy in our little circles running around. And we need to go ahead and actually invite people. So those that are saved, we've got a responsibility. That great commission is to go and feed a sheep, to talk to them, to invite them. Invite people to church. John 1 talks about it. Come and see. Invite them to community. I remember I invited one guy, EJ. He came to our church and said, you guys are wild. You jump around. You're actually just too wild for me. And I said, that's cool. But he said, I'll come to a bra. And he came to a bra. He started joining us at a bra's. John was there. John will remember EJ. And eventually he said, actually, you guys are quite cool. You talk about, because we do the same in our bras as we do at church. We pray. We talk about Jesus. And he said, I'll come to your community. And he was the first person I baptized in Eugene's pool. Because he came over there and it was just too much for him, but he came through an invitation and through a relationship. And that's where you guys are. You are Jesus' message to the rest of this world, to Mossel Bay, to invite people, to impact them and actually bring them in. Because that was God's call us to do, to bring the lonely into family, because we are the collective bride of Christ. You got that, eh? Cool. Okay, so we need to extend the invitation. MZ will like this, I think the evangelism side of it. We often think, oh, that's a difficult thing. But actually, that's what invitation is. We're going out and inviting people. And it's as simple as just saying, hey, come join me this Sunday. Who I am in work, in church, is the same. And that's the important thing. That's our litmus test. Are you the same out in the workplace as you are in church? Because the person that you invite is going to look up and say, yo, but you put on this nice facade of you in church, but at work you're doing something different. So for us, we need to be constant. God's called us to walk a walk that's actually willing, well, it's worthy of being followed. So I want to encourage you, invite somebody. Do the invitation. The worst is what? They can decline. That girl should have declined me back then. She would have saved me a lot of heart issues. But the thing is, you can actually go, and if someone declines it, you invite somebody else. And I want to encourage you, don't ever give up inviting people, because then you've lost the battle. We must go out there. I want to see these pews full. I mean, we've been fortunate to sit in this church for 18 years, and I've seen people come and go, and there's been people here that have been here for a long time. I think Charlotte, John and Candace, yeah, you, Candace and John were here before me. There's not many people I can say that, so it's quite a big thing seeing Candace going, because we haven't had many people have stayed here that long. I think Don was here with me back in those days. But we're called to go ahead and actually bring people in here. And I want, each of us has got a circle of influence. I want to encourage you to go and invite those people. And if they say no, hey, don't stop praying for them. Carry on. Because you know what? I didn't come the first time I was invited. I don't know if you came when the first time you were invited. It took a while. So we don't stop. We're relentless. We carry on praying because God gave us a desire to love people into his kingdom. Okay. So believe in the power of invitation. And Jesus invites us and we need to invite people. Okay, Acts 2:38. Peter replied. It's a simple thing. I remember like someone said to me he wanted to meet the Lord and he wanted to give his life to the Lord. And I thought, well, that's quite amazing. But I said, like, I'm not really the type of guy that can do that. And I came to, I think it was Morne was leading then, or I can't remember. And he said, no, you can lead him to the Lord. And I went like, okay, cool. So I said to him, well, let's, and he said, no, I've already just gone to Joburg. So he phoned me, and I remember sitting on Petrus Day Game Reserve, and he said, can I lead him to the Lord? And I said, but I'm on a phone. So I quickly said, I'll phone you back. I phoned, I think, Morne. I said, can I lead him to the Lord on a phone? He says, yeah, you can lead him to the Lord on a phone. I said, what? Okay. So I went, and then I led him to the Lord at Petrus Day's Game Reserve. He was up in Joburg. I was there. There's no, let's use technology where God can go ahead and actually use you in any situation where you can lead a person to the Lord. And it's a simple thing is actually, as long as we're bringing people in, that's what God wants us to do. And the thing is, that the question is, perhaps souls aren't being saved because we're not asking the questions. So your simple, your bunch of friends that you're around there, are you sure that everyone's saved? That's a big question. Do you know where they're at? And some people, you've got to go ahead and be soft with them. You can't go ahead and actually, Bible say, come to church. Jesus doesn't do that. He stands at the door and he knocks. It's soft. I mean, like not like pounding. He didn't say pound the door. He knocks. It's a soft thing. So he's standing there knocking, and that's what we need to be, is be gentle and patient when we do it. So Acts 2:38, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that helper will come and actually help us how to do it. I didn't know how to lead someone to the Lord, but the Holy Spirit did. Okay, so I'm going to ask Renee to, she said I must give her a sign. No. That sign, no. No, sorry. It was a song I'm going to ask you just to play. I'll just give the background. I was in America 2001. It was a time that was quite amazing. I was on Twin Towers 9 days before they went down. I saw it going down. So I'm one of the few people that has lived in interesting places. And this was a song that impacted me. And it's called The Invitation by a guy called Stephen Kirsch Chapman. And you'll hear the words. And it's just, yeah, let's just play it.
In the land of mercy, the king looked out from his throne. He saw the sick and the homeless and hungry. He saw me lost and without hope. And moved with compassion, he sent out his only son. The invitation to come. This is your invitation. Come just the way you are. Come find what your soul has been longing for. Come find your
So I want to give us an opportunity. I made that invitation, and I took it, and I changed my life when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And most of us have probably made that decision, and I trust we have. Some might have walked from it. Some might have actually missed the opportunity, veered away from it. But I want to just give you guys, those that might not have missed it, an opportunity to go ahead and actually say, come right to the Lord and actually make him their personal Savior. I think it's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. Second to marriage. And often we say, oh, I don't want to embarrass people and get them to stand up or raise their hand. But you know what? If you can't stand up in this place here, you'll never be able to stand up in the world. Do you know that? We're called to go ahead and actually be salt and light in the world. And we can only do that by go ahead and actually coming and saying, Lord, I don't have it. I don't have it here either. I'm standing here with a microphone and I'm not even probably worthy enough to go ahead and actually even bring this message across. But I'm willing to go ahead and use what I've got to bring the kingdom forward. And I want to encourage you guys to open your hearts to that. So if I can ask you guys to be bold and just raise your hand up and say, Lord, those people that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, just to raise a hand up and say, Lord, I'm doing it today. I'm not guaranteed of tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow holds. If I haven't made that thing, I want to be sure that I actually do have Jesus as my Lord and Savior. It's something that I think God wants to give that opportunity. So if you don't know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, can I ask you, just raise your hands so I can see where you're at. Cool, thank you. I see that hand, thank you. And I want to give an opportunity to those people that might have actually veered away from where God's called them and actually, yeah, not serving the Lord as they should do. I think most of us have been through that season in our life where we've been invited and we've had a relationship and then we've just got busy with life. We've got so busy we've actually kind of stopped walking with Him in the cool of the day, communing with Him as He intended us to, and not actually hearing Him speak to us, not hearing His voice. I want to give you that opportunity as well. If you want to go ahead and actually come clean, come right with the Lord, I want to give you the opportunity to do that today as well. It's an important thing. We need to be alive to make these decisions, and today we're alive. God's given us today this amazing opportunity to come right with Him. So if you'd like to, just put your hand up so I can see where you're at as well. Cool, thank you. See that hand? Two hands, thank you. Three. Awesome, four hands. Five, thank you. Cool, just can I ask us all to stand? Let's all stand. And just if you guys can pray after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask for forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins. Jesus, I believe that you rose from death on the third day. I repent from my sinful life. And I invite you into my heart and into my life right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, you know what? That's for me the most important thing, is that we know where we're at. And we actually have solidified it through the blood of Jesus, that we are okay within relationship. And you know what? It doesn't matter where you are. That's like a song said, come just as you are. None of us have got it together, but we're all striving to go ahead and actually get to the end, to the finish thing, the finish line. And it all starts with the invitation. And you've responded to that invitation. And that's important. In your heart, you've actually made today, the 8th of December, an important day, that you've drawn a line in the sand, and there is no more. Let's use this December season. As we said, we say we're winding down. But I want to encourage you to, with your family and friends, that uncle that normally irritates you, and if you don't know where he's at with his life, can I ask you to go ahead and actually let your lifestyle, don't have to say anything, let your testimony, the way you live, the way you talk, the way you do everything, let that be the testimony that actually encourages people and points them towards Jesus. Don't have to use words. Words aren't important. Okay. Awesome.